Welcome to this inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
It's good, good, good. Amen. Let's keep our focus on. You guys did really well. You can feel the switch in atmosphere, can't you? And it's a Holy Spirit kind of focused service. And one of the things that's good to know is that your head, your thoughts move quickly, but your heart moves more slowly. So part of what God had in store, I'm sure, is as well as kind of prophesying and imparting stuff to our students and our younger people, was that allowed a shift in the atmosphere. And so that impacts everything. So the way I speak, the fact that Sam still plays, all those things, they're all, it all comes out of this other realm, the Holy Spirit. And I want to just talk about a couple. I've got two or three points and we'll just see how we go. And you will need smiles, that always helps. And I'm going to keep Sam playing. And I want us to not just engage our heads, but to really engage your heart, your spirit. And we can already feel that. You can already sense that something different is going on, where God speaks to us. Some of you, when Carrie and Maisel and Val were praying for these kids, ministering to these kids and prophesying, some of you start to pick up stuff, like for yourself. Sometimes it could be something that they're saying, or it might be something different, but you start to perceive peace from God, and you start to get an impression about something. God's speaking to you about something. It's incredibly important that all of God's children hear His voice. And God's speaking, but in my experience, a lot of Christians go a long time, months, sometimes years, without really hearing God clearly in their heart. I love Carmen's testimony because she talked about that, and I've had experiences like that. But I know when you talk like that, some people will kind of really think to themselves, I'm not sure if I'd really know what that is or how that happens. And I want to talk a little bit about a couple of things along that line. Does that sound okay? If we have a title, if you want a title, it's called this: Real Christianity is of Another World. Real Christianity is of another world. And we're going to have a look at a good portion of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So if you have a hard copy Bible, which personally I think will help you more, but if you've got the electronic, that's okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. You're still all right there, aren't you, Sam? And real Christianity is of another world. Real Christianity, what Jesus came to bring, what Jesus demonstrated. There's a verse in Luke that says that he went down to some lake, I forget where it was, he said, and people came from all around him to hear and to be healed, because power was coming out of him and healing everybody. And I've got that up on my wall, because he was the forerunner, the example of the kind of life we're supposed to live. He was the firstborn of many brothers and sisters, the Bible says. And we were called to walk like him. And maybe you're talking to them about God, or you're kind of going in that direction, and you get this sense, or verses of scripture come back to you. I remember that really distinctly. It was a number of long time ago now, years ago. And I was really hungry for God as a young person, and I was talking to my, and all of a sudden, all these, I'm thinking, this is really weird. Like, I'm remembering all these verses and I'm quoting all this stuff about God, and I didn't know that I knew it. But I'd read it somewhere, because the Holy Spirit had kind of flicked a switch, had activated something. That's normal Christian life. Everyone say, that's normal. That's just normal. You were made to carry the presence of God, to hear the voice of God, to release the power of God. You were made to get up every day and feel, sense He's with me. And hear His guidance. Sometimes when you feel, I can hear that when Anderson's playing drums. See, sometimes we're not so conscious, but you can hear the gift of God on it, and that there's something of the pleasure of God in Him playing. God likes to see you happy. But a lot of times, we're just the connection, the sense of connection with this person called the Holy Spirit is not that strong. And sometimes in our churches, we don't help that, because we talk a lot, and we may talk well, not just me, but other people, we may talk well, but if we don't help people make connection and hear God, sometimes I think to myself, that's why sometimes, most often at the end of a service, I'll usually say, let's close our eyes 30 seconds, a minute, whatever. And sometimes we need actually a bit more than that to process and to download what we've heard in our heads, because it isn't just information for your head, it's supposed to reach your heart, it's supposed to change your life. And when we don't do that, we end up with people that get some more information about God, and within 5 minutes and a cup of tea, their conversation level is a kind of back where it was when they first came in, and the potential of that word of God to really change their inward person is largely gone. Sometimes we rush, you know, we're in a busy world, and God just isn't in a rush. Some of the things that you most need and want in your life are only going to come when you make enough time to connect, to really connect with this person called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, just so you know, He's just as much God as the Father and the Son, Jesus. And as much as you worship God, you worship the Father, you worship Jesus, you can worship Holy Spirit, He's God. The reason sometimes people are a little uncomfortable with that is that Holy Spirit does never draw attention to Himself. He's going to glorify Jesus. So everything in Him will always be pointing to Jesus. But remember this, when Jesus left and He said, listen, you guys are sad because I'm going, understandably. And He says, but it's better. Everyone say, it's better. It's better that I go, because I'm going to send you this. And the word is paraclete. It means like an advocate, like someone called alongside to help you. Some words use comforter, Bible use comforter, but it means several different things. But basically, it's someone who's called alongside to help, to counsel, to be an advocate for you, to stand for you, to strengthen you. And He said, it's really better that I go, because and the word, when He says I'm going to send someone like me, the word means exactly, in the Greek, exactly like me. Holy Spirit's exactly like Jesus. And we need to become comfortable with a connection with Him. Because that's what real Christianity is. A lot of times, people spend 95% of their lives barely conscious of the heavenly realm. You may be able to tell me, you know, that everyone has their an angel because the Bible says that. Even these little ones, these guys, they all have. But very few people are conscious when their angel is there. Very few people are conscious of the gifts, particular manifestations of the Holy Spirit that they've been given. There's nine of them that you see in 1 Corinthians. A lot of people, if you said to them, a lot of Christian people, if you said to them, tell me one thing that you know, that you know, that you know God said to you. And some people would struggle even to find a couple of things. And because of that, it's not like I'm mad at you or God's mad at you or anything. But because of that, the life, the river of life that Christianity is largely unperceived. And if you look through history at when God moves and the way the Holy Spirit moves, you'll see that that you don't need, you know, I love doing things well. This our projector, our new projector that's brighter than this one, broke down. We're using the old one. We brought in this carpet today, which is from our home. I didn't ask Caroline. I wasn't sure what answer I'd get, so I just snuck it in the car. She's all right. But I'm trying all the time. We both try all the time just to make God's house better than our house, the best it can be. To be excellent is important, but you can do all that, and if you don't have God's presence, I mean really have His presence, then it's just a social gathering. You know, and we tick the box somewhere along the line and we prayed the prayer and so we're a Christian and so we should go to church. A lot of times, people go to church because they feel like they should, which is fine sometimes, but somewhere in there, there ought to be this heart that fell in love with Jesus and that can hear the Holy Spirit saying, you should wait till what I've got prepared on Sunday when the God's people gather. And it should be like, I can't wait to get there. And you know when you're in a good state spiritually, when that hunger is higher. You've probably all been there at some point or other and you're just excited. So we need to get to know this person. Let's have a look at 2 Corinthians 3. I may read most of it. It's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians, Paul is speaking very much from his heart, more than pretty much any other letter, maybe 2 Timothy. And I'll pick it up in the end of chapter 2, verse 14. Here he says, I'm reading in the NIV, he says, thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma, everyone say the aroma, the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. So the knowledge of God, this guy knows God, these people know God. You spread that by smell, not by, you know, well, I told them the four spiritual laws and I told them that, you know, they need to meet Jesus or whatever. That's got its place, but it's aroma. Isn't that interesting? We spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To one, we're the aroma that brings death. If people are perishing, they're disconnected from God at this point. God loves them deeply. But when you bring God's presence, it doesn't remind them of life, it reminds them of death, because they need to make that connection. And then he says to it, the others, we are an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Paul writing, who can do that? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. Hardly believe that's in the Bible. Basically, Paul's saying there's lots of preachers and ministers out there that are in it for the money. That's what he's saying. This is the same then as it is now. Sometimes we find out during the course of a life. Sometimes you don't find out what people are really like until the judgment day, when all the award, just sooner or later it'll all come out in the wash. But it doesn't always come out as soon as you want. You need to have some kind of God factor connection thing inside you, because where you fellowship and how committed you are to a group of people, a church or a leader or whatever, has everything to do with how you're going to flourish and grow in life. So he says, we're not like that. I'd like to say that, I can say that to you. I am not, like many others may be, peddling the word of God for profit. On the contrary, we speak in Christ before God with sincerity as those sent from God. And he knows, people being people, when you say something like that, you know, how people can hear that. Oh, he thinks he's something. So he writes to that. Are we beginning to commend ourselves? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you're a letter from Christ. The result of our ministry, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. So what a Christian really is, and what real ministry is that you bring God's presence, and that does something inside of you. It changes you as a person, and your life becomes a letter that displays Jesus. And that's the proof of whether me or Carrie and me is it, and our team, whether we're genuine ministers of God or not, is the letter that's written in your heart. It's really not about the number of people. Now, I'm going to reach everybody in Staines if I possibly can. But you can see that that's not the key issue. Are you with me? And then verse 4, such confidence we have through Christ before God. But that's how we have this confidence. We're not competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence or our ability comes from God. He has made us able, or he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, isn't that amazing? So you're a minister not of the letter. It sounds like he's saying, don't worry about the Bible, because that kills. What matters is the Spirit. Now, you would be making a mistake if you took that view, because that's a bit too extreme. That's not really. But what is evident is that you can have the letter, you can have the words of God, you can have the written words of God, and somebody can speak that, and it may only bring death. It may not bring life. The words itself, it's still the word of God. But the effectiveness it has everything to do with the vessel or vessels that are carrying that, and whether they are carrying the Spirit of Christ. And that's the same for you. Most of the reason I do this, I'm called to do this, most of the reason is two things. One is to please God, because that's what he made me to do, and I want to make him happy. And the second thing is to demonstrate something by my life and by my words that you can catch and emulate, and so that you are released into your destinies. That's the biggest reason that I do that. That's the real reason God calls people. It's not about me being known or well known or whatever. It's about how many people you can help bring God into their world. It's not the letter. See, so sometimes you can be in a place and people can preach, and it can be the word of God, and it can be entertaining, but it's only going to bring life, Zoe, the life of God, if the Spirit of God is on it. And you can have differing levels of the Spirit of God. And you will have whoever's preaching or teaching, same in your case. when you go and you're talking to people, you're a minister everywhere you go. You're a bringer of the aroma of Jesus everywhere you go. And it'll depend, you know, it varies. Gifting varies from person to person. Some people's gifting is very much prophetic. So I lean strongly that way. So things like revelation gifts and discerning of spirits, those are things that are strong. Other people have got gifts of healings, which means they just have a higher level of success than others when they minister to people in that realm. And they've got, and so we have these patterns we use, you know, in the Christian church. We say we're going to reach people and we're going to prophesy over them, or we're going to do what, spiritual readings, or we're going to minister to the sick and all that. And that's good. We're opening doors. But when it gets exciting is when each of you discovers what your piece is, and instead of thinking, oh, Carmen gets a lot of people healed, I don't get as many people healed, am I doing something wrong? You think, I see that gift there, what's my gift? That's what it is, you see. And there'll be a general flow. Generally speak, God will give us as a house a particular anointing, and so we flow together in a general direction. But it's very important that you guys discover. So, you know, when the lady's up, one of my favorite people, one of my favorite worship leaders in the whole world, and I've worked with a lot of them, is Nalady Knight. And I just love it because I know her as a person, but when she gets up here, it's like something changes. That's the anointing. That's the presence of God. That's to do with connected with the gifting. And she'll speak differently. She'll be quite abrupt. But in a good way, you know. It brings life. And it helps everybody connect with God. See? And you've got gifts too. You don't have to be in a public place. Some people that are hidden right now and they feel called to something more public, God will make a way. Don't try and push the door. Just keep walking with God. There are people in the public place that would much rather be hidden. And every season of life has its challenges. So New Testament Christianity is not just letter. He's hearing. He says, the letter kills. In other words, you can hear the letter, but that isn't necessarily life. Let's flip there to Romans 10:17. And that is backwards, actually. And I want to see something in that ties in with that, then I'll probably give you a couple of stories and we'll be done. What's important here is that you relax and that you consciously do your best to open your heart. That's the way I'd describe it. Sometimes we try and overthink everything, especially in the West. And if your mind is too busy and active all the time, you will have great trouble hearing your heart. And sometimes your mind is going so strong and you're thinking, I can do that, and you'll give all the reasons why you can do that. Yeah, because this happened, and last time this happened, that's the decision I made, and she said we should do that and whatever, and you can go through all the rationale. But if you just get in an atmosphere like this, you might find that your heart is saying, you don't need to do that. And you're hearing from God. You're picking up from the Holy Spirit. And life will come with it. Now, in Romans 10:17, I just mentioned to you, it's a very famous verse, and we talked a little about it in the faith thing, but I want you to, maybe you can make a note, you know, in there. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes from hearing. Faith comes from hearing. And this particular hearing is facilitated by the word about Christ. Now that word there, there's two different words for word in Greek. You might know this, but this will help you. It's very, very important. One is logos, which is the more common word, and it just means whatever's written. So all of this is logos, this whole thing. This is the word of God. But this word here is rhema, which is a different Greek word, and they're not used interchangeably. Rhema is a specific spoken word. You heard God speak to you. This is really important to help you. So what he's saying is this faith that comes that gets the job done, faith that comes and brings a result, comes from a spoken word from Christ. He spoke to you. And very often it'll come out of this rhema, out of the logos here. And sometimes it'll come via something I said. Sometimes it'll come via something a close friend of yours said as you were sitting together. Or sometimes it'll come because maybe you heard like a podcast or something we were talking about and something came alive. And you heard it and you think that, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes it'll come that way. Now that is the kind of word that brings faith that gets the job done. What people sometimes do is they want to have that kind of word, but they just take the logos and they just say, well, it's all the Bible and it all applies to me. And technically and legally, that's right, absolutely right. But there is a difference when God speaks to you personally. And some of us have come unstuck, or some of us have had less fruit in our lives than we want, or some of us have made decisions and we thought it was God because it was in the Bible, but we missed that emphasis that Paul had in 2 Corinthians 3, that it's the Spirit that brings life. And that faith that'll actually result in something, you need to hear God speak to you. Now, there are aspects of life, what you do with your finances, what you do morally, being in the house of God together, loving one another, stuff like, there's a whole lot of aspects that you don't need to hear a word from God because it's just there. But when he's talking about this kind of faith, he's talking about that you've got to hear God speak to you. And sometimes we haven't. Sometimes, and that's what I want to facilitate, is for you to hear God speak to you. Here's an example that'll help you. I was reading a little bit about Yongyi Cho when he started out in his church, you know, which is now, whatever, 750,000 people. And when it was a considerably small church, when he was starting out, he prayed and God spoke to him about building a building. And all he had was $2,500, which I think it was going to be a 10,000 seat building or something. It was a big building, which was nothing, but he got it done. And from his perspective, he had that faith because he heard God speak to him. Now, a little while after that, two of his disciples, two of those being trained by him, who were ministers also, wanted to build a building also, saw what Cho had done, managed to rustle up 80,000, not 2,500. I think one borrowed 50 and one borrowed 30. Went ahead, believing God, trusting God, stepping out on the word of God. Didn't get the building. Well, they built a building, but nobody came to fill it. And they ended up in awful debt and awful trouble. And they went to Yongyi Cho and they said, how come? We believe the same Bible you believe. We believe the same promises of God that you believe. And you, with 2,500, got this building. And he said, there's a difference. He said, you have to hear from God. I knew that God had spoken to me personally. See, and that, if I, on my reading of most Christians, that isn't strong in most Christians' lives. And I want to help you because, you know, I'm a person just like you. And I'm very committed to Jesus. I really am. And it wouldn't matter what happened. I'm not walking any other way. But I also know the feeling of being in church and feeling like this is getting a bit boring, this is a bit samey, I'm sure you're not feeling that now, of course. But we're people, you know? And somewhere in there, that ought to stir you up to think it shouldn't be like that. It should be a place where I'm so excited to come. And that's not like we're doing anything wrong or God is doing anything wrong. It's not about right or wrong. It's about getting yourself in that place where you hear God's voice. When you understand that, see, then you realize, I talk to people sometimes and over the years and they might move away. Lawrence, it's great to see Lawrence, he's come all the way from Liverpool. But a lot of times people will move a long way for a job that might give them 10 or 20,000 pounds more, but they don't think so much about moving away to a church where God is speaking to them. When actually, if you're in a place that helps you hear from God, that's worth a lot more than 10 or 20,000 pounds. God can, some of you have made financial decisions and you look back and you say, I could have saved tens of thousands of, God could have told you about that, you know. It's not like he's angry with you. He's very, very patient. And he loves people, kind of like a parent loves a child and you see them do dumb things. And if you're a half decent parent, and it's taken me a while to learn, but you know, if you're a good parent, you just learn to be patient. You've got to keep believing. You know, their life's not over yet. You did some dumb things too. And God's like that, but kind of, you know, to the nth degree. Very, very patient. Never angry with people. But a lot of times what happens, and it happens worst in the West, which is probably significantly connected to why Western Europe in particular is the darkest spiritual continent on the planet, with the least number of things, there's sparks, and that's why we're here, by the way. But we'll have a lot to do with the fact that we are so busy, we're so focused on earning our money, we're so excited about our technology, we're so, the instant, before the service ends, for some people, at the end of the service for others, smartphones will be on, messages will be flipping up, this and that, and most of them are of no consequence whatsoever. But you're so occupied that you don't have the time, that's what you'll tell yourself, I don't have the time to make an hour or an hour and a half just to sit with God and talk to him and say, like I was saying to him yesterday, I really need to hear from you on a couple of things. And I'm the same as you. I'm a pretty active, you know, person. I'm not very good at sitting still. And I have to. Otherwise, I'm going to go through life without the rhema that I need, and so I might try some good ventures and try this and try that, but it may not work out exactly how I wanted it to. It may not end up as good as it could have been, simply because God's word to me, I didn't catch it. I didn't make the time, and it's quicker and easier just to grab a Bible verse and quote it and say, well, that's my verse. We've done our praying in 5 minutes. I tell him, yeah, it is going to take more than that. And I don't say that in a way that, when I say it's going to take more than that, I don't say that in a way like, you know, like God's forcing you to give up things and you have to pray more and that kind of heavy. It's not about that. It's about Christianity is this world in another world. When you hear God's voice, it's the most precious thing on earth. Becoming a Christian, following Jesus, has got to be a response to hearing God's voice. That's why other preachers, not just me, have observed that every person that puts up their hand in an altar call or whatever we call it and says a response to it, not all of those people get saved. It's a good intention, it's a good step, it's there's nothing wrong with it. But the reality is that being born again is you heard God call to you and you responded to his voice. Amen. And I've changed a little bit how I do that, because I grew up in a church where we do that a lot. But if you're not careful, it becomes almost coercive. It's almost like, you know, I've been in situations where I've been embarrassed watching somebody else, because it's like this poor person, there's so much spotlight and focus on them what on earth are they going to say? And you're much better to have a community, a church, where, you know, we worship, we have a format, but if we worship a bit longer, we worship a bit longer. If Caroline and the ladies minister to our people, we minister a bit longer. Or we talk like this, which is very kind of relatively low key, and we just flex to facilitate God speaking to our hearts. Here's the thing, and I'm going to close up. What helps you hearing from God, you can write them down if you want. Praying in the Spirit will always help. Praying in tongues, praying in other languages, praying in your spiritual language. Because it's your spirit praying. So if you don't have that gift, then I would activate the hunger switch and say, God, I want that gift, and you can come and I'll pray for you and you'll be away. As long as you're hungry, you'll be away. But the good thing about that is that your spirit prays, and the Bible says your mind is unfruitful. You ever notice that? You don't know what you're saying. And the good thing about that is after a while, it might be 30 or 45 minutes, the activity of your brain slows down. Because you're accessing a different realm. It's a different part of your praying. And it's much easier to hear God that way. Worship is another thing. That's why we encourage you. That's why Nalay, you know, I talked to Nalady a lot, and Sam, and we worked really hard on developing that whole thing. Because when you worship God and you really push in and you forget about your voice and you forget about the person next to you, and you, something starts to connect. Yieldedness is another big thing. There's a beautiful verse in James 4 that says, don't you know that the Spirit God gave you, he craves for fellowship with? Don't have time to kind of expound on that, but he's talking about don't be friends with the world. You can't be a friend with the world and a friend with God. And by that, what that means is you live by worldly standards. You know, the Bible says this is a good way to do it, but I'm going to find some reasons why I don't have to. But, and you can't do that and be friends with God. And he says, don't you know that the Spirit God gave you, the Holy Spirit is craving for fellowship with your spirit. He is hanging out. And he's never angry, very rarely angry. For all intents and purposes, never angry. But just knocking on the door. Would you make some time for me? I just loved it. And I'm telling you, when you start to open that door and you start to enter into this realm of the Spirit, the kingdom of God, everything changes. Your priorities change. God starts to do things. God starts to speak to you. That's where, for me, if I, you know, I could start to prophesy over people and things like that. But I don't think we should do that. Tuesday evening will be a good opportunity for that. But if you're able to be there, then do this. Make an hour or two this afternoon or tomorrow and just prepare your heart. And say, God, I'd like you to speak to me. Because the other thing about prophecy, and I do need to close here, the other thing about prophecy is God anoints people to speak prophetically, but you know, they're not perfect. And they don't necessarily get everything right. Sometimes they don't get things right at all. And you, in your spirit, need to hear, is that God speaking to me? It's like the most common way God speaks to you is an impression in your heart, a sense in your heart. It's the most common. And sometimes people will prophesy and you'll feel like that doesn't, I can think of lots of examples, that just doesn't bear witness, that doesn't. And then you've got to be strong enough in your relationship with God to discard that, disconnect that, doesn't make them a false prophet. But for some people, you see, when this voice of God speaking to me isn't clear, the signal isn't strong, they're cluttered, we're too busy. And then we make decisions on our mental abilities, which are helpful, but we look back and we think, why on earth did I do that? Anyone ever felt that?
Yeah.
There's a better way.
Yeah.
And what Paul's saying all along here is this is what Christianity is. I'm convinced that there are some people in some churches in our nation, and I'm not being disparaging and whatever. There are some people in some churches in our nation that wouldn't know God if you walk down the street with a red hat on. The whole object is to know this God. And the person that reveals him is Holy Spirit. So we're going to close. Maybe take 2 minutes. You can stand if you want. You can sit if you want. Stay confident. Stay relaxed. Don't try too hard. Intensity doesn't really help much hearing from God. And for some of you, it's just a matter of God saying to you, you know, some of what I've said, there should be pieces in that that are quickened to your heart. You think, And what I want you to do is just think on that. Meditate on it. For some of you, the whole time since we've been here, it's like, this is a bit weird, you know, this, it feels different. That's good. We need a bit more feels different. When the Holy Spirit begins to move and blind eyes pop open and people fall over all over the building, not just because somebody pushed them, and the fire department comes because there's flames coming out the top of the building, which has happened numerous times through history. That will feel weird. But you want to get ready for it, because we're not here just to be nice, sweet Christian people. We're here to walk with God. You're, like Carrie said before, you're a prince and a princess. You're made in his image. Papa loves you. And he wants to encourage you. I'm just going to give this a minute or two. You can pray quietly in the spirit if you want. We thank you, Father. Sometimes it helps just to close your eyes, turn your hands toward heaven. Show God this morning that you really want him. Let your demeanor, the tilt of your head, lifting of your hands, let, show God. Forget about everything else. Take this moment. Say, God, I really do. I really do want you. For some of you, that in itself is a big change, important change. Papa God, I want to thank you for Jesus, and I really want to thank you for Holy Spirit. And my prayer is that every beautiful person here, in whatever state, that you visit them. they hear your voice that comforts, that encourages, that directs, that something shifts on the inside today. Our hunger for you becomes paramount. Please do that for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some of you are wrestling with little things in your heart. The best I can forgive you is just go with God. It will always be the best choice. There's big things going on right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Lord, we bless you today. You can look up at me. It's good though, isn't it? Good to be in God's presence. And we're going to, can you play for another couple of minutes? You mind? We're going to have coffee and tea and all that there. And a couple of guys will help, I'm sure, move the tables and stuff. If you feel like I need to, and I've been like that, where I feel like I just need to sit here with God, then do that. And if you feel like you'd like someone to pray with you, minister to you, you feel like, you know, something has shifted, I've made a good decision or something, maybe you've given your life to Jesus for the first time, maybe you've done that, but maybe something. I'm going to just wait here for a minute or two, I'm in no hurry. And just come on out, for goodness sake, don't be afraid. Because if things are, if heaven's coming close to you, that's the best thing in the world for you. So let's do that, and then we'll have some coffee and tea. Thank you for our team that does that and the food. We bless you. Thank you for coming. Next week will be even better than this week, if that's possible. So have a beautiful week. Bring your friends. Have tomorrow off. That's all right. And if you can make it on Tuesday night, make sure you're punctual and come prepared in your heart, because we've only got Pat for one night, and I want him to be able to do his thing. So that'll be great. God bless you.